Fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is Prince Nestor sitting in for Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to March 31st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Nigerian female wrestling sensation Odunayo Adekunle says she's optimistic of earning a place on the podium when the Olympic Games take place in Tokyo next year. The African and Commonwealth champion and current number one ranked wrestler in the women's 57kg category has been training at home since the postponement of the Games. She spoke to reporter Iron Mike Mbonye about her Olympics plans.
I am glad and very happy to be on your program. My name is Adepore Odua Ofolashade, but people call me the dancing queen of the mat. I wrestle in the 57kg, and to God be the glory, currently I'm the national champion in Nigeria, African champion, Commonwealth champion, and presently I'm rated number one in the world. I thank God for this great achievement because it's not easy at all. And I've qualified for the Tokyo Olympic Games, despite the fact the Olympic has been postponed to 2021. Being in the Olympic Games is like getting to the highest standard of your career, the apex of your career. And even the name, an Olympian, is a great height.
What have you been doing to be fit since the postponement of the Olympic Games?
Since the postponement of the Olympic Games due to coronavirus, and we have been asked to stay at home to stop the spreading of this virus. And also we know the importance of staying at home this time around. So I've been training with the little equipment I have at home, keeping myself fit. And thank God for technology. I've been getting directives from my coach, Akupiriti, through phone calls. And even sometimes we made video calls for supervision.
Are you in contact with your coach and fellow athletes on the way forward?
Yeah, I am in contact with my coach, like I have said earlier. We communicate through phone calls to check on each other, most especially what I have to do in terms of training. But I have to tell you the truth. Truth is not easy at all. Of course, I communicate with my teammates, my training partners on phone. We gist a lot, especially what's going on around the world.
Are you positive of achieving a podium performance when the Olympic Games holds next year?
Absolutely. I am positive achieving a podium performance when the Olympic Games hold next year. The postponement has given me more time to work seriously on my deficiency. And my coach added that I now have enough time to work on my strength training, which I know I needed so much. So I am optimistic. Come Tokyo 2021, I'm winning the gold medal by the special grace of God.
That was Nigerian female sensation Odunayo Adekunle speaking to reporter Iron Mike Mbonye about her Tokyo Olympics plans. The countdown to the rescheduled 2020 Tokyo Olympics has begun. And with just over 1 year to go before the opening ceremony, my colleague Gwen Uten joins me to tell us how the new date for the Olympic Games was chosen. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Prince Nesta. An actual digital clock has been reset in the city of Tokyo, Japan, to count us down to the start of next year's Olympic Games. And in case you were wondering, there are 479 days to go until the opening ceremony. The date is set for July 23rd, 2021, almost 1 year to the day of the original date of July 24th of this year. And on Monday, IOC President Thomas Bach said many factors were considered in choosing the new date for next year's games.
We choose this date to follow our principles, which we have established on the 17th of March. And this is first of all to safeguard the health of anyone involved in the Olympic Games and to make our contribution to the containment of the virus effect, which has been acknowledged among many others, there also by the summit of G20 just lately. And we had to look into the international sports calendar to maintain the uniqueness of the Olympic Games. With these reasons, we can now look forward to have these games next summer, which is a period which is also manageable by our Japanese partners and friends, because they always set the date at the latest in summer 2021.
The postponement marks the first time in modern Olympic history the games have been delayed. And Bach says he must now work with international federations and sponsors to reshape the rescheduled games with no prior blueprint.
This is a huge challenge, and it's unprecedented. We don't have a blueprint. We have no experts to refer to. Now we have to work, and we are working already, with the international federations. We have to take the qualification into consideration, what it means for the athletes. We have to see, and in particular the organizing committee will have to see, whether the sports venues are still available. We have to cooperate with all the broadcasters all over the world to have as many people as possible following these postponed Olympic Games. We have to find agreement with the sponsors. They, in turn, have to adjust their programs. So it's really a huge, huge challenge.
Add to that the challenge of making those adjustments during the coronavirus outbreak. As of this report, the coronavirus has infected more than 780,000 people worldwide, with over 37,000 reported deaths. Thomas Bach says he hopes the Olympic Games will serve as a beacon of hope for people across the globe during a very dark time.
We are all humankind. We are in a very dark tunnel at this moment in time. And we do not know how long this tunnel will be. But we are confident that with these Olympic Games at this new date, then we can be a light at the end of this dark tunnel. And we can therefore give hope to the athletes of the world, but also to the wider public, that there is something happening there next year which can unite the world, and as Prime Minister Abe said, unite the world, then hopefully in a celebration of humanity for a victory against this virus.
The Olympic Games will be celebrated from July 23rd to August 8th, and the Paralympic Games will take place from August 24th to September 5th, 2021. The Games will still be dubbed Tokyo 2020, even though they will now be held next year. And I want to add that next year's World Athletics Championships have been directly affected by the rescheduled Games. That event was set to take place in August of next year, but now the World Athletics governing body is shifting that event to 2022. The Athletics Federation issued a statement giving its full support of next year's Olympic Games and said they are coordinating with the Commonwealth Games Federation and organizers of the European Athletics Championships to find a slot in their 2022 calendar. And that is all from me. Prince Nesta, back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Sunny Side of Sports contributor Dan Friedel spoke with former professional cyclist and current cycling analyst John Eustace. He asked John if the Tour de France, scheduled for late June, might be one of the first major sporting events back on our television screens since the worldwide coronavirus outbreak.
We're joined now on The Sunny Side of Sports by John Eustace, a former professional cyclist and a longtime cycling analyst based in New York City. John, how are you doing today?
Very well, and here we are in the coronavirus central of the United States of America, as well as you can do.
So, John, just before we started our conversation, you were telling me that you are able to get out on your bike in Central Park in New York City. You know, certainly everybody is interested in stretching their legs and getting some fresh air. What's the cycling scene like from your perspective in New York City these days?
Well, it's quite interesting that cycling and interest in cycling and participation in cycling is rapidly expanding in the city because people don't camp ride the subways. They need to get around. Life has to continue on certain levels. And I go to the park, and there are lots of bike riders in the park. We all keep our 6 feet social distancing between one another. But we do our rides, there are a lot of people on the streets riding as well. So, in all crises, things change. And I think one of the things that might change following once this thing eventually disappears is that there'll be a lot more acceptance in general in society for cycling and bicycles. So if some good can come out of that, that's one of the goods.
So, John, many of the people in the United States know you because you contributed to ESPN's coverage of the Tour de France for a number of years. What do you think is going to happen with the Tour this year?
The Tour de France, unlike the Olympics, is a private business. It's a professional sports league. It's like Major League Baseball or NFL. It's professional sports at its purest form. And all of those leagues, and Major League Baseball, NFL, they're trying to figure out how to keep open. And Major League Baseball is looking for stadiums in less infected areas of the country. Any business on earth right now is trying to figure out how to get their way through this crisis, and the Tour de France is no different. And they are working, as far as everything I can tell by French news reports and things I've read and reading in between the lines, because they are full speed ahead to try to make this thing happen, as they should, because you need for life to continue. People need to have things that they recognize and are accustomed to keep hope, to keep morale in these trying times. And I believe, with my experience and looking what the French are doing and how they're speaking, that given, and this is the big given, that there is enough testing in 3 months that they can safely control an entourage of, say, 1,000 people or so. All right, that's what the tour could be if they reduce a lot. And keep those 1,000 people safe. In 3 months, I hope for everybody, for the world, that we have that capability, because if we don't have that capability, things are going to be really bad. But I believe that they think that these testing capacities are developing, and then if they are able to do that, then I outlined in my articles a series of logistical, practical means that I thought would enable them to, in fact, pull off this race, which would be very exciting for the entire world.
What would it be like for people who have been starved for a little bit of good news to see the yellow jersey on the road once again later on this summer?
Look, the Tour de France is not a sporting event for the French. It is, of course, but it's much more. It represents the country. It represents history. It's been going on since 1903. The only thing that stopped the Tour were the two world wars. It's kind of like a Statue of Liberty for them. It's a symbol of national strength and unity. So if that can come back, if you can see the Tour de France is back on the roads, that means there's hope. That's like a bud sprouting in the spring. That means there's future. And that's what it would represent. It would represent hope and the future, and things can get back to normal. And look, we're adjusting, we're battling this. And it'll give people something to do every day, the Tour de France. The beauty of it, it's like a novel, right, with lots of chapters. There's always something happening. There are all these storylines. It's like, the reality TV developed out of the Tour de France. The idea for reality TV came from Dutch TV producers watching the Tour de France and saying, hey, we can put all this drama in different scenarios. So it's very engrossing. It'll develop a huge audience. There's nothing else going on. And the people need sport. There's no sport right now. They need something to do.
John, I was curious to let our listeners know a little bit about what you think some of the adjustments might be to the tour if it were to happen. Right now it's scheduled to start in late June.
It depends on the testing, okay? Given that they've gotten the testing to a point where they're confident that they can control this 1,000-person entourage, I think that they would have to – the big problem right now is that – a big problem right now, not the, but a, is that the bike riders have greatly differing possibilities for training. So the French are locked inside. They're chased away by the police if they leave their house on a bicycle, whereas the Belgians could ride outside. The Italians the same as the French, the Spanish too. So you've got these big discrepancies in preparation. Now, that said, They're great indoor training systems, something called Zwift, which is like basically a pedaling computer game, video game, where you race avatars against avatars, and the hills are hard, and the wind is strong. And so you can simulate the efforts indoors that a lot of riders are making outdoors. But what I do think they would have to do, and I think this would aid the entire process, would be to take the pool of riders who are going to ride the Tour de France, say 12 riders in each of the selected teams, something like that. And these are my ideas. It might not be how they do it, but this is, you know, I also ran professional teams, so I have an idea how all this works. And so you go to an isolated place in the Alps or the Pyrenees or the Midi Central or wherever you go in France, and isolate the teams in these hotels. There are plenty of hotels. They're all empty, right? Everyone in their own room, lots of medical surveillance over the riders, lots of testing morning, noon, and night, however it works. I don't know that stuff, but something along that line. And in the month, let's say, before the race, or 3 weeks before the race, the riders are kept sequestered, monitored, controlled for infection, along with the race staff, and they go from there directly to the race. And at the race itself, you have the great team buses. Everyone sees those team buses, right? Those should probably be eliminated. You have the riders stay in hotels right near the start and finish lines. They can, like in the old times, like in the 40s, they ride their bikes to the start, they ride their bikes home from the finish. All this control. I think if they do something like that, if the French, who will be very good at this, I'm quite sure. I mean, they can be an independent, notoriously independent people, the French, but they also, when they got to fall in line, they fall in line. So you make an order, national order, nobody on the side of the road, nobody at the starts, nobody at the finishes, watch the race on TV. I think the French will absolutely adhere to those rules. And with that, with the isolation of the riders, with the constant medical control, with the great television exposure, I think the world can have something to watch in July.
That's cycling analyst John Houston speaking to Sunnyside of Sports contributor Dan Friedel about the Tour de France.
Hello, this is Miro Juma, the bronze medalist, Commonwealth 2018 Australia Gold Coast. Listen to the Sunnyside of Sports on A Voice of America.
I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunnyside of Sports on The Voice of America. Dillian White's heavyweight showdown against Alexander Povetkin has been rescheduled for Saturday, July 4th, after all British boxing events on May were called off because of the coronavirus pandemic. The British Boxing Board of Control announced on Monday it had extended its suspension of all shows under its auspices, having initially shut down everything in April. White was due to face Russian veteran Povetkin on May 2nd at the Manchester Arena. The board has also suspended the license of Billy Joe Saunders after he released a video which appeared to condone domestic violence. The WBL superweight champion filmed himself working out on a punch bag in a barn, advising men on how to hit their female partners if tempered flare during the ongoing coronavirus pandemic, which resulted in a fierce backlash on social media. Saunders has since apologized, saying he would never condone domestic violence and promised to donate $31,000 to domestic abuse charities.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. And in basketball, Boston Celtic guards Marcus Smart has officially been cleared of coronavirus by the Massachusetts Department of Health. Smart posted on his Twitter account saying, and I quote, "Corona free as of 2 days ago, cleared by Massachusetts Department of Health. Thanks for everyone's thoughts and prayers, and I'm doing the same for everyone that has been affected by this. Stay safe and stay together. Much love." So far, at least 14 NBA team members have tested positive for COVID-19, including the Brooklyn Nets' Kevin Durant and Utah Jazz's Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell, and the owner of the New York Knicks, James Dolan. Smart joins Francis Gobert and Mitchell and Detroit Pistons' Christian Wood with all clears after coming down with the illness.
ways, Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Manchester United star Marcus Rashford is closing in on a return to full fitness as the young striker continues to recover from a serious back injury. The 22-year-old England star hasn't featured for the Red Devils since sustaining a double stress fracture in the FA Cup third-round replay win over Wolves on January 15th. Rashford is United's top scorer this season with 22 goals and is currently training away from the team's Carrington training base during the coronavirus crisis, but is being monitored closely by the club's medical department. Manchester United are 3 points off the top four with 9 games to go and have momentum. Solskjaer's boys are 11 games unbeaten in all competitions. United have 11 Premier League games left to play, as well as an FA Cup tie with Norwich City in the Europa League round of 16 second leg against LASK Linz.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
Liberian President George Weah has released a song to create awareness for the global pandemic coronavirus.
We are Project Liberia. Mama Liberia. Must all rise. Let's stand together.
A 6-minute song dubbed Let's Stand Together and Fight Coronavirus highlights how the virus is spread and also sensitizes Liberians on some preventive measures. Hopes to appeal to music lovers across the nation of some 4.5 million people to ensure COVID-19 does not spread further than the 3 cases already confirmed in the capital, Monrovia.
No security, everything is possible. It could be your mama, your papa, brother.
President Weah is regarded as one of the greatest African football players of all time. His most memorable year was 1995, when he captured Ballon d'Or and FIFA World Player of the Year honors, becoming the first and to date only African player to win this award.
Be your mother, your father, even your sister. Let's stand together.
Weah is also believed to be the first head of state to produce a song to educate people about the danger and preventive measures of COVID-19. That song wraps up the March 31st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Mokbilia Baru. And thank you for tuning in. I'm Prince Nesta, sitting in for Sunny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on the Voice of America.
This is